coming a day when these bodies aren't going to get tired, when we'll be able to run the aisles and just keep on running, and amen. And our voice, we're not going to lose our voice, but we're not there yet. Amen. But we love to worship around here. And this morning at altar call, after Brother Troy preached about the fire falling, somebody got the Holy Ghost. Amen. Brother Chris Hall received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, evidence by speaking in other tongues. There's a new name written down in glory. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. We're excited. We rejoice with you, Brother Chris. We rejoice with you. Praise God. God's doing great things in that family. Amen. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Ephesians chapter 6. Amen. Ephesians 6 and verse 10. It's good to see each and every one of you here tonight. Thank you for worshiping with us. And I want to say it's good to see my good friend Brent Dillon. Amen. Good to see you. It's one of my, when we moved up here in 2007 and we were going to the same church over in Valparaiso, we just became good buddies. And actually, whenever I moved into my office here, he was with me till about 2 or 3 in the morning, scraping up carpet, industrial carpet with that glue. And just had a good time of bonding, but we love you. We love you and your family. Your children are here tonight. Good to see y'all. Thank you for being here and worshiping with us. Amen. Ephesians 6 and verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand. Everybody say stand.
Stand.
That you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Some of you battled that on the way to church. Some of you had to fight with that just to get ready today, but you made it to the house of God. Praise God. And so Paul says, wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, that's now, and having done all to stand. Stand, therefore, everybody say stand.
Stand.
Having your loins girt about with truth and having on the breastplate of righteousness and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. He said, having done all to stand. Stand therefore. Let's pray. Lord, we love you. Thank you for what we feel in your presence. Thank you for what we felt this morning. Thank you for what you did this morning. God, we pray that God, you would fill this house even tonight as I speak. Lord, touch each and every heart. God, let your anointing go forth. The anointing that can break the yoke of bondage. The anointing that can set the captive free. God, we need you in this house tonight. Thank you for what you're going to do. And everybody said, in Jesus' name. Praise God. God bless you. You may be seated. Somebody help me preach tonight. Amen. I want to preach from this simple thought. I'm still standing. I'm still standing. Look at your neighbor and say, I'm still standing. Yeah, that's it. You got to say it like you mean it. I'm still standing. Praise God. Because we need to know in 2020, we need to know what we believe in. And we need to stand for it. Everybody say stand.
Stand.
Yeah, stand. There's power in that word. There's authority in just standing for something. Stand. We need apostolics in 2000. I'm going to get to my notes, but we need apostolic in 2020 to know how to have a Holy Ghost backbone and to know that there are some absolutes that we're still going to stand for in 2020. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is still one Lord. There's still a plan of salvation. There's still a holiness and a separation that we've been called unto, and we're going to stand for some things when the rest of the world sits down, when the rest of the world lays down, we're still gonna be standing. Woo! When the dust settles, there'll still be a remnant, there'll still be a church, there'll still be a people of God that are standing for righteousness. Hallelujah. I'm still standing. We got to know what we believe in. pastor entered a class as the lesson was in progress and asked, "Who broke down the walls of Jericho?" The little boy answered, "Not me, sir." The pastor turned to the teacher and asked, "Is this the usual behavior in this class?" The teacher replied, "I believe this boy is an honest boy, and I really don't think he did it." Leaving the room, the pastor sought out a deacon and explained what had happened. And the deacon said, "I have known both the boy and the teacher for several years, and neither of them would do such a thing." And by this time, the pastor is furious and reported the incident to the Christian Education Committee. And they said, "We see no point in making an issue out of this thing. Let's pay the bill for the damage to the walls and charge it to upkeep. Anyway, our insurance may even cover it." We got to know what we believe. We got to know where we stand. And we need to know what thus saith the word of God. We need to know where to turn and say, the Bible says to have an answer for everyone that asks a question. And say, "Hey, yeah, it's right here. The Bible says that no weapon formed against me is going to prosper. It's right here in Isaiah 54:17. Amen. And you know the word and you've applied it to your heart. But we've got to stand. Jude said it like this: always earnestly contend for the faith. Earnestly stand for the faith. Someone once said, if you don't stand for something, you'll fall for anything. Some of you that are a little older than I, maybe grew up in the 70s, you'll remember. I see some of you nodding. You'll remember the toy, the Weebles. The Weebles. Now, this is before my time. I grew up with G.I. Joes and Nintendo. I'm in the 80s, but in the 70s, all you elders. Weebles is a range of children's roly-poly toys originating in Hasbro's Play School division on July 23rd, 1971. Tipping an egg-shaped Weeble causes a weight located at the bottom center to be lifted off the ground. And once released, gravity brings the Weeble back into an upright position. Weebles have been designed with a variety of shapes, including some designed to look like people or animals. But they had a catchphrase that some of you have already been saying. Weebles wobble, but they don't fall down. Weebles wobble, but they don't fall down. We've got to stand for some things. The wind's going to blow. And there's going to be different winds of doctrine that Paul wrote to the church of Galatia. There's going to be some things that blow and come against us. But Micah 7:8 says, "Rejoice not against me, O mine enemy. For when I fall, I shall arise." When you see the first sign of my knee touching the canvas, I want it to be a declaration to you, enemy, that as soon as I fall, there will be a time that I get back up again. Because I've learned to stand for some things. Praise God. The roots go deep down and allow us as Christians to stand when the winds blow, and they're going to blow, and things are going to come against us, and there will be some times in our life where we're to the left and to the right and we sway and maybe even get knocked down. But everybody say, "I'm still standing." Praise God. I look across this audience. I look across this congregation. And I see powerful, powerful testimonies that you're still here today. Some of you were down at the front worshiping God. Some of you were running the aisles and worshiping in your pews. And you have a strong testimony that you're still here. And you're still standing. Praise God. You got to stand for something. What does it mean to actually to stand for something? Rather than the opposite of sitting, it means to hold firmly to a particular opinion or belief. To stand for something means you give it your wholehearted support. Stand for something. Certain words have feelings associated with them. Sitting is seen as a passive action. Some consider sitting the opposite of doing something. Standing, on the other hand, is active. You have to get up. It takes muscles. It takes a conscious effort to stand. When you stand, you take action. That's why standing is associated with believing in and supporting a cause. For example, Many fans at a baseball game will sit in their seats to enjoy the game. But if someone hits a home run, you can be guaranteed that most of the people are going to be standing. In fact, the place where you sit, the bleachers, they're called stands. They want you to stand when something happens. Praise God. In fact, likewise, sometimes when actors in a play give spectacular performances, they're often giving a standing ovation. There's something in standing. When we worship God and all across the building, we begin to stand and magnify God. And we make that conscious effort that I don't want to just be passive. And I don't want to just lollygag for Jesus and just kind of go through the motion and have a nonchalant. But we begin to stand and say, God, I believe your word. I believe what they're singing. I believe what he's preaching. I'm going to stand. Praise God. We got to stand. Hallelujah. We stand when we shake somebody's hand. We stand when we're being introduced. At concerts, the band sometimes gets standing ovations. There are many reasons that cause us to stand. And in the military, those of you that have served, thank you for your service. But they taught you some things in the military. They teach you to physically stand for a few things. When an officer enters a room, you stand at attention as a sign of respect or honoring the rank that they had achieved. When the national anthem is played or sung, you stand at attention as a sign of respect. To this day, we stand when the national anthem. We teach our boys in sports and growing up that, you know, put your one hand behind your back, put one hand on the heart, and you're going to stand and not talk and not be disrespectful. There's some things that we've learned to stand for. Praise God. And when the Bible is read, when we read scripture, when the preacher stands behind this pulpit, we say, let's stand for the reading of the word. We find that back in Nehemiah 8:5. When Ezra opened the book, the congregation stood. Amen. There's a demonstration. There's a symbolism in standing for something. Everybody say, I'm still standing. Ooh, the devil doesn't like it when he hears you say those words. Because the devil has been doing his very best from the very beginning of time to knock us flat off of our feet, to knock the knees out from under us, and to get us flat on our face. Yeah, he doesn't like when you stand up to him. He doesn't like it when you start quoting scripture and you start saying the name of Jesus. The Bible says the demons have, he says, submit yourselves therefore to resist the devil and he will flee from. When you say the name of Jesus, light and darkness can't mix. When you feel if maybe there's something going on in this house, say, in the name of Jesus, I plead the blood. And darkness has to leave. He doesn't like it when you stand up for Jesus. So the devil from the very beginning has been trying to get us to fall down. And not just fall down, but stay down. Yeah, stay down. In Genesis 3, if you know, some of your Bibles, the caption over Genesis 3, it says the temptation, and then later on it says the fall of man. That was the devil's whole purpose in the Garden of Eden, was just to get them to fall. Because they stood with God. They had a relationship with God. And the devil just wanted to come in and break that up. And there was a fall. And that's what he's been trying to do. In fact, in Matthew chapter 4, let's go there. Matthew 4:4, when the devil was tempting the Lord, notice what he says. Let's read this. Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward and hungered. And when the tempter came to him, he said, if thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. But Jesus answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Then the devil taketh him up. Notice this. The devil took him up into the holy city and setteth him on a pinnacle of the temple. And saith unto him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down. That's been his whole purpose from the beginning. Just fall down. For it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. Jesus saith unto him, it is written again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Verse 8, the devil's not real smart. Again, the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them, and saith unto him, all these things will I give thee if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Two of the three temptations, the devil tried to get Jesus in a down position. And that's what he tries to do to us right now. He's trying to get you in a down position. You know, you ask some people, how are you doing? And the whole time their eyes are at the floor because I'm just feeling down today. You want to get your spirits up, but you try to worship, but there's things that have been oppressing you and things that have been coming against you, and we're burdened and we feel down. And that's what the devil's trying to do in each and every one of our lives, in each and every one of our families. He's trying to get you to not stand anymore. Yep. Let me read another story. I'm not going to be long tonight, but I feel God has a word for us tonight. He wants to encourage you. He wants to encourage you, young people. Keep standing. Keep doing what you're doing. We're proud of you. We stand behind you. We support. We're so excited for what God is doing in our youth group, in our young people, in our hyphen. Praise God. Praise God. Daniel chapter 3. Nebuchadnezzar the king made an image of gold whose height was 60 cubits and the breadth thereof 6 cubits. And he set it up in the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king sent together the princes, the governors, and the captains, the judges, treasurers, counselors, sheriffs, and all the rulers of the provinces to come to the dedication of the image which Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. So the devil had a plan. You know, I'm going to try to get everybody down. Because that's his goal. That's his, he's come to steal, kill, and destroy. That's his job description. That's all it is, to get you down. So the princes, verse 3, governors, captains, judges, treasurers, counselors, sheriffs, and all the rulers of the provinces were gathered together unto the dedication of the image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. And they stood before the image that Nebuchadnezzar had set up. And an herald cried aloud, to you it is commanded, O people, nations, and languages, that at what time ye hear the sound of the music, you fall down and worship the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. So notice in verse 3, all of these people that are there, they stood before the image that Nebuchadnezzar had set up. That's how we start out, standing. But he said, when you hear the music play, what I want you to do is I want you to go from this position, I want you to fall down. So verse 6, and whoso, notice, but if you don't fall down and worship, the same hour you'll be cast into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. Therefore, at that time when all the people heard the sound of the music, all the people, the nations, and the languages, they fell down and worshiped the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. And the devil's like, all right, they all fall down. Wait a minute. So wherefore at that time, certain Chaldeans came near and accused the Jews, and they spake to King Nebuchadnezzar, O king, live forever. Thou, O king, has made a decree that every man that shall hear the sound of the music and shall fall down and worship the golden image, and whoso falleth not down and worshipeth, that he should be cast into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. There are certain Jews whom thou hast set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, have not regarded thee. They serve not thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. And Nebuchadnezzar got mad in his rage and fury, commanded to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. I like that it's always Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. I heard somebody once say, I've never heard a message on just Shadrach. Or just Meshach. or just Abednego. There's power in unity. There's power when you link up with brothers and they know you by Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. And so they brought these men before the king. Verse 14, Nebuchadnezzar spake and said unto them, is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Do not ye serve my gods, nor worship the golden image which I have set up. Now if ye be ready, he was giving them another chance. He said, if you be ready, that at what time you hear the music, you fall down and worship the image which I have made. Well, but if you worship not, ye shall be cast the same hour into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. And who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands? So Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. Notice, they were still standing. Amen. Yeah, king, we know the decree. We know what everybody's supposed to do when they start playing the cornet, the flute, and all those musical instruments that you have lined up. But we're still standing. I would to God that in 2020 we get that resolute about us and say, you know what? I'm not going to bow to every wind of doctrine. I don't care what they say. I don't care how watered down they try to get it. There are still some absolutes that we'll never bow down to. We'll never turn to the left and we'll never turn to the right. We're going to be standing until Jesus comes back again. Because forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. And if it was good for Paul and Silas, it's still good today. I'm still standing. Praise God. Praise God. You may be seated. Verse 18, but if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Then Nebuchadnezzar, full of fury. I mean, you can imagine. He's spent all this time creating this thing. And so the form of his visage was changed against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And therefore he spake and commanded that they should heat the furnace 7 times more than it was wont to be heated. And he commanded the most mighty men, everybody say mighty men, that were in his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and to cast them into the burning fiery furnace. Then these men were bound in their coats, their hosen, and their hats, and their other garments, and were cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Therefore, because the king's commandment was urgent and the furnace exceeding hot, the flames of the fire slew those men that took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. This king just lost his mighty men. And these 3 men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they fell down bound into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. That was what the devil wanted, to fall down. And he thought he had them. Y'all already know the rest of the story, so y'all just like already there. But think about it. They're in the fiery furnace because they stood up. Now they're falling down, bound. Because they stood up for their God, now they are falling down, bound. All right. Verse 24, then Nebuchadnezzar the king was astonished and rose up in haste and spake. Notice this, and said unto his counselors, did not we cast 3 men bound into the midst of the fire? They answered and said unto the king, true, O king. And he answered and said, lo, I see 4 men loose walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt. And the form of the 4th is like the Son of God. Child of God, can I tell you, you can never go wrong standing for Jesus. Because when you stand for him, he's going to stand right beside you. He'll walk through the fire with you. And you'll have no hurt. No hurt. Praise God. Everybody say, I'm still standing. I see 4 men They're walking in the midst of the fire. They're not hurting. They're not looking like other people that we've cast into a fiery furnace. We know how they're supposed to be acting right now. They don't even look like the fire is bothering them. Praise God. So Nebuchadnezzar came near to the mouth of the burning fiery furnace and spake and said, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, ye servants of the Most High God. He had another change in his visage. Come forth and come hither. Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came forth of the midst of the fire. And the princes, governors, captains, counselors, sheriffs, and all them other people that were listed being gathered together saw these men, and they noticed something. Upon whose bodies the fire had no power. Now, there's a difference in the fire that was preached this morning. The fire of the Holy Ghost will protect you from the fire of the enemy. Amen. This fire had no power, nor was an hair of their head singed. Neither were their coats changed, nor the smell of fire had passed on them. Nebuchadnezzar spake and said, Blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who hath sent his angel and delivered his servants that trusted in him, and have changed the king's word and yielded their bodies, that they might not serve nor worship any god except their own God. Therefore, he's like, you know what? I'm going to do away with that other decree. Let me make a new decree. Every people, nation, and language which speak anything amiss or against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they shall be cut in pieces, and their houses shall be made a dunghill, because there is no other God that can deliver after what we just witnessed. When you stand for Jesus, when you stand for God, when you can stand in a funeral home and preach that there's still salvation in the only saving name of Jesus, God will always stand with you. And when you walk out of the world's fiery furnace, young people, your hair's not even going to be singed, and your clothes won't even smell like smoke. Praise God. And then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon. Of course he did. Why in the world would he not? I don't want anybody on my side except the people of God. Praise God. So the devil tries to get you to bow down. He tries to get you to fall down. So how often has it been in your life that you felt that maybe you've been kicked in the stomach? And all you could do was just fall to your knees under the pressure and cry about it. Amen. The pressure was so great that you lost all strength in your body, a feeling of hopelessness and helplessness. And you thought, God, why me? Maybe you grew up in Sunday school and made some decisions along the way, and you ended up far from the church house. And you just lie there saying, God, how did I end up here? In this place. And the devil's like, ha, ha, ha. They fell down. You once stood with the power of the Holy Ghost, and now you're almost a lifeless shell of yourself. And you didn't fall to your knees in a feeling of prayer, but you fell because of the punch that was so strong that forced you to the ground. That unexpected news that maybe hit you so hard. That pink slip that you got when you were just catching up on your mortgage. Or maybe you went to the doctor for a routine checkup and found out that there was something far more serious going on in your body, and you were going to have emergency surgery. And you just, seems like you can't get up. The devil just laughs. Because the devil tried, he came along and put his arms on, you know, when you were sitting on the pew and tried to be buddy-buddy and say, yeah, you know, it's fun out there. Don't you see the billboards? And, man, he painted a pretty picture, and it's all fun and games, young people. That's what he's saying. Oh, just try it. Just take one puff on that cigarette, or just do one drug. Come on, it'll make you feel like you've never felt before. Come on, this is real stuff.
Amen.
Come on, it's just a little bit. And the whole purpose that he has is not to get you feeling good and get you all... He wants to see you fall flat on your face. He wants to see you in a hospital room with your lungs the size of acorns and laugh at you in your face and said, I told you, child of God, you'd never make it.
Amen.
But I've come to declare something to the devil. He can't have our children. He's not going to take our young people. Not without a fight from moms and daddies that are still standing for righteousness, that are still proclaiming the word of God in their living room, that are still lifting up the man of God in their household. The devil tries to knock us down. Found out you had to have emergency surgery, and you get home to find out that your insurance won't cover most of it, and your bank account won't support the medical work that needs to be done. And the devil is fighting you. And he's coming against your family. And he's coming against your family values. And he's trying to break up your families. He's trying to break up your home. He's causing division. And maybe your spouse doesn't believe the same as you anymore. And there's tension every time you start getting dressed for church. And you start putting on that church music, you know. And then a fight breaks out. Why you always got to listen to church? And the devil's just trying to wedge himself in your life. And he's just trying to do whatever it takes to get you as a child of God to go from the standing position to falling flat on your face. That's what he did in Genesis and all throughout the Bible. Just trying to get you to fall and to stay down. But you're still standing. But you're still standing. Maybe 2019 wasn't a great year for you, but you're still standing. There were some things that happened that you weren't expecting, and it turned your world upside down, but you're still standing. You're still on this platform worshiping. You're still lifting up holy hands and saying, God, I'm just going to trust you. I'm just going to believe you. I'm just going to hold to your unchanging hand. I'm just going to stand with you, God, because I know you can see me through. I know you're able to do exceeding abundantly above all that I'm going to ask or think. And I know that all things work together for good. Praise God. And so you stare the enemy in the face tonight. And you let him know that no weapon formed against me is going to prosper. It doesn't say that the weapon's not formed. We sing about that. The enemy will form a weapon, but it won't prosper. It won't prosper. And every tongue that shall rise up against you shall be condemned in the name of Jesus. Sometimes you just got to stand and look the enemy in the eye and say, I'm still here and I'm still praising him. You gave me your best shot, but I'm still here and I'm still worshiping God. You look cancer in the face and tell it, I shall live and not die. You look divorce and separation in the face and let it know, this too shall pass and this will not define me. You look fear in the face and tell it, perfect love casts out all fear. Praise God. You look addiction square in the face and tell it, although you thought you had me, I got away. Somebody give God praise, right? I feel the Holy Ghost sweeping across this sanctuary. You're still standing. You're still standing. You're still here. You're still alive. God still got you. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. The devil gave you his best shot. The Bible says, put on the whole armor of God that you'll be able to stand all the fiery darts. He's not just going to shoot one. Dink. He's not going to try when you just get back from youth congress, young people, and you're just on the Holy Ghost high and you're just shouting on the announcements. I mean, they're like, we're going to have family. Like, they're going to be making pumpkin rolls. You're just excited. And we love that. But the devil knows. He knows when to come around. He comes around when you had that little fight at school. Let me start messing with you. Let me start trying to knock you down. And he's relentless. He doesn't stop. The devil doesn't take a day off. Neither should we. You should be here on Wednesday night Bible study. You should, I'm going to preach this one. You should be in the prayer rooms. Come on. The devil's not quitting. The devil's not saying, well, I just won't fight against their family Tuesday night. I'm going to just take Tuesday night off. No, 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 no. The devil's fighting. He's trying to wedge in between your family values. He's trying to get you out of the house of God. He's trying to give you excuses not to be in the prayer room. But as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. I've got babies. I've got children in Sunday school that need to live for God. I can't take a day off. Praise God. Praise God. And so he comes against you. The Bible says that he's going to come in. It says when the enemy will come against you like a flood, the Lord will raise a banner, a standard against him. He doesn't say that if the devil decides to fight you. No, 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 no. Child of God, he's coming against you. Just get ready. Some of you right now are nodding. Not that he's going to come against you. You're nodding that you're there right now. I see it. I see it on your faces. You're sitting right now in these pews, and the devil is fighting you right now. He's fighting your family, and he's coming against you. But I've come to give you some encouragement, because I saw some things in the prayer service tonight that you're still here. You're still child of God. You're still in the palm of his hand. You're still up here with tears streaming down your face saying, yeah, it hurts, but I'm still standing and I'm still going to be fighting and I still got the whole armor of God. Praise God. Praise God. And in moments like this when your world around you is crumbling, it's hard to see how strong you really are. You feel weak. You feel worthless. I don't really think I should be on the music schedule this month. I don't feel like the devil's coming against me, and I'm feeling burdened by the enemy. I've come to tell you tonight, you're still standing. You're still standing. Praise God. It's in times like these, I have a couple pictures that I want the media to put up as I read this story. It's sometimes hard to see the goodness in the midst of chaos and destruction. Mother Nature, this is a true story, brought a dangerous E4 tornado through Lee County, Alabama, earlier this month when this article was written. This was back in March of 2019. And this tornado destroyed everything in its path. But there's one story of survival that online, it's gone viral. Jason Smith told the certain station that he went to the areas affected by the storm as a chaplain and with the Billy Graham rapid response team. And he was shocked when he came across a home that was completely obliterated by the storm. This home. Everything. You see the slab. He came across this home and everything was wiped out. But there was one thing still standing. And he writes, listen to me, please. I just left a family who survived the tornado in this house, and the only thing left standing is this closet. This closet right here. What is this closet? And he goes on to write, this is the grandmother's prayer closet. And the whole family survived. The whole neighborhood was wiped out. Families lost their life. But this house, everything was wiped out except this prayer closet. It feels like in some of your lives in 2019 and in recent years that the devil came through with a catastrophic storm and he wiped out everything that you've been standing for and everything that you believe. But I've come to tell you on this Sunday night that you're still here and you're still standing, child of God. What the enemy meant for evil, you turned it for good. In the name of Jesus, he gave you his best shot. That's all he's got. The devil has no power. Do you know that? He doesn't have power over you anyway. You're a child of God. Amen. You are a child of the Most High God. Brother Chris, got a new name written down in glory. Now you got more power in your pinky than the devil has ever had. The Bible says he's under our feet. We tread on serpents. The Bible says that when that day comes, there's going to be one angel with one chain that goes down and wraps this little serpent up and casts him into the lake of fire. And when we see him, we're going to be like, oh, we talk about this all the time. I want to remind you, he does not have power over you. You've got power over the enemy. Weebles wobble, but they don't fall down. Y'all been rocked, and you've been pushed, and you've been shattered. And the tornado came through and the storm came through your life, but there was one thing still standing, and it was you. Hallelujah. That's right. Somebody's preaching with me. Who was that? Praise God. Beckham up there in the balcony. Says, hey, we need to lower this balcony wall so I can see my preacher. Praise God. Hold him up, man. Somebody preach with me. Amen. Praise God, Brother Beckham. Just like bowling pins. I was thinking about bowling pins as I was preparing for this message, and I'm coming to the close as the music comes. If Sister Susie's still here, she might have had to step out. I know Sister Henson. Sister Henson needs our prayers. Praise God. If the music would come. Just like bowling pins. There's 10 bowling pins and there's one in the front, and you know the setup. But a bowling pin is only thing about a bowling pin is that they're made to be knocked down. That's it. What a life. And the devil has been throwing everything he can at some of you. You know, there's different size. You go bowling, there's different size bowling balls. I have one in my basement because that was one of the things I got into, and I needed everything. I need a bowling ball, the bag, the towel. I have bowling shoes. I don't even bowl. I still need the bumpers. Okay, but I look like a bowler. All right, Brother Brent. You were with me. We both have all that stuff. It was your fault. He can bowl. I cannot. But there's all kind of different size bowling balls. There's 8-pound balls. There's 16-pound balls. And as our Christian walk, the devil's throwing everything he can at you. Everything. I mean, there's hooks. There's hooks that you try to throw. I was just a straight one. I just throw it as hard and fast as I could. Sometimes I get two of them. I think that's cheating. But if you knocked them before the bar came down, you have more of a shot. But that's what the devil's doing. He's throwing hooks. He's throwing them straight at you. He's throwing two at a time. He's trying to do everything he can, child of God, to tear you down. Right. Amen. kill, steal, and destroy. That's it. That's all he wants to do with you. He wants to take every talent, every ability that you have. And he wants to sift you as wheat, the Bible says. But Jesus said, I prayed for you that your faith fail not. But just like when you go bowling and all the pins fall down, there's a reset button that the thing comes out and there they are. They're still standing. They're still standing. Rejoice not against me, oh, mine enemy. For when I fall, I shall arise. I'm going to get back up again. A righteous man falls 7 times, but he gets back up. Some of you right now, as the Holy Ghost is in this room, you're thinking about your testimony. And what God has brought you through recently. And you're saying, amen, Pastor. I'll get back up again. Sister Abby testified just the other night. Wasn't a good year. Going through some things. Life-changing things. Sister Abby, stand up. Look at where she's at, devil. Threw everything he could at her. Every fiery dart against that family. But look at where she's at, devil. She's on the platform. Yeah! Sister Chana, come up here real quick. See, the devil doesn't want you to succeed. The devil doesn't want you to prosper. Sister Chana, come on up. Share her testimony. Not too long ago. And everything that she goes through. And we were just talking about it the other day, me and Brother Bill. My goodness, the testimony of this lady of God right here just called me the other day, this one right here. Listen to this, devil. We're about to start a prison ministry. What the enemy meant for evil. When he thought the addiction would overtake her. When he thought he had you cast down. When they found you face down in that apartment. But you're still here and you're still standing and we're starting a prison ministry. Stay up here. Brother Dave Coben, come on. Brother Spicer, come on. What the devil thought were going to be trophies of hell, they're now worshipers that play in the orchestra. If you knew his testimony, if you knew his testimony, look at where they're at now, devil. He's stronger than the drugs. He's stronger than the alcohol. He's stronger than the addictions. He's stronger. He's greater. He's mightier. Rejoice not against me, O mine enemy. Because when I fall, I'm going to arise. When I get knocked down, I'm going to get back up again. Young people, if you could take anything from this service tonight, I want you to look on this platform. Brother Spicer was knocked down. Told me his testimony. He shared it with the church. Involved in some bad things for years. But guess who drives a bus for our church? Guess who every now and then runs the aisles in worship when the devil thought he had him? I'm standing up here with what the enemy thought were going to be trophies on the walls of hell. But yet, they're still in an apostolic church saying, I love you, Jesus. I'm still standing. I lost my way for a little bit, but I'm back and I'm stronger than I've ever been. Come on, as they begin to sing, I would to God that we'd come down to this altar and make a declaration that I am still standing. You gave me your best shot. You gave it all you got. But yet here I am. And I'm still going to be a worshiper. And I'm still going to lift up my voice. In the name of Jesus. In the name I pray over your families right now. Come on. Everybody pray. Come on, every eye closed. Everybody should be making their way to the altar right now. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Young people, he's coming after you. Moms and dads, he's coming after you. He's coming after your children. He's coming after your babies.
The weapon may be formed, but it won't prosper.
But I'm like a tree that's planted by the water. And I shall not be moved.
Because the God I serve knows only how to triumph. My God will never fail. Oh, my God will never fail. I'm going to see a victory.
Somebody ought to claim it in your family. Somebody ought to claim it in your finances.
For the battle belongs to you, Lord.
Right now.
I'm gonna see a victory.
No weapon formed against you.
For the